All right, Javosai, good morning. Let us begin a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Chaf Gimel. We are picking up from the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Beis to thank our sponsors for this morning's shir, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Teves. On this last day of Teves, Shirley Elbaum, Avron Shon, and Judah Elbaum, and their families, in memory of their beloved husband and father, Jerry Elbaum, and in commemoration of his 10th yahrzeit, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah, and the family a nechama. Thank you for the sponsorship. And a week of learning, starting today, dedicated by the Weisbord children, in memory of their grandmother, Shena Chaya, Basarav Yaakov Yitzchak Halevi. Zichron Levrach, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah, and the family a nechama. And also to thank Jack Bennett for dedicating this week of learning in memory of his grandfather, Rafael Beniashvili. We hope in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah, and the family a nechama. And I will say just important housekeeping on your way out. You notice, again, we have enhanced security in the shul. We have a guard here every day. Our guard this morning is a wonderful gentleman by the name of Scott Kern. It happens to be his birthday today. So on your way out, if he's mamish here, the crack of dawn, every day, every Shabbos. So if you could take the opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, make a good impression for Klal Yisrael, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wish this wonderful, wonderful neshama happy birthday. Thank you. I'm sorry. No, don't call him in. No, don't call him. Then I'll probably be embarrassed, and I don't want to get him angry, right? So with that, let us begin. So we're picking up at the Mishnah. We had the Mishnah. Chav Beis Amud Beis. Hayo Omid B'Tfila. Well, it's an interesting case. If a person was sitting in the middle of, or was in the middle of davening, V'niskar Shul Bal Keri. So we'll say, remember again, we're going to focus... In yesterday's daf, what we saw is the dramatic machlokes exactly. Let me take a step back. Everyone agrees, of course, that Ezra made a takana, right? And the takana of Ezra is that ultimately a person has to go to the mikvah after having a seminal emission prior to learning or to davening. So the shaila just is the scope of that particular takana and its enactment and effectiveness and impact contemporarily. How do we deal with Akronis Ezra? So yesterday, again, we were introduced to the idea of Tisha Kabin, of a pouring of 9 kav of water, which effectively, contemporarily, means taking a shower, right? So again, how does that impact? So again, we have Rabbi Huda ben Beseru, who says, in Divrei Torah Mekablin Tuma, that in general, again, one could learn and one could daven even after experiencing a seminal emission. So we still have to bring all of this together in a halacha l'maisa context, which in Meretz Hashem we will still do in the coming days. So another manifestation of this halacha is as follows. Hayo omid b'tfila v'nizkar shu balkeri. If a person was in the middle of davening and he remembered that he was a balkeri, so what's the halacha? Lo yafsik, you shouldn't stop davening in the middle. El yekatzer. But ultimately, again, you should recite a truncated form of davening. So we'll say what exactly this means, how you truncate davening, we're going to see. Yared litbo, similarly, we'll say now, in this case over here, a person became a balkeri and now he's going to the mikvah. So it's like there's enough time for him to what? For him to go ahead and go into the mikvah. And I will say the case over here is where he's going ahead and he's going to the mikvah right by this man of Kriyashma. So the Gemara is operating under the assumption that what is the optimal time for Kriyashma? Netzachama. Right? Remember again, we've already seen this before. Although, really, this discussion lives in the fourth chapter of Brachos, but we're having it now, where, again, the idea being that ideally I recite Shema right before sunrise so that I could daven Shemona Esrei at sunrise. So the case over here is a person is going to the mikvah right around this time. So if there's enough time for me to get into the mikvah, to get out, to dry off all before sunrise, then I should do so. However, v'im lav, but if there's not going to be enough time, in other words, if by the time I get out of the mikvah, dry off, and I'm clothed, ultimately, again, it's going to be after sunrise, then what? Yiskase b'mayim v'yikra. You should, quote-unquote, clothe yourself in the water and read Shema in the water. Now, I'll say, what does it mean to go ahead and clothe yourself in the water? So we'll see what that means. L'maisa, really what it means is you have your entire body in the water up until your neck, and only that your head is above the water. That represents clothing yourself. But again, we'll see this in the Gemara. But you should not, quote-unquote, clothe yourself with foul water. We'll see what that means. V'lo b'mea mishra. Mea mishra means water that you would soak flax in. until you pour in quote unquote clean water into it. So now switching gears. How far do you have to distance yourself from urine or from excrement in order to daven? Again, this is when you get introduced to this concept as well, which is that when I daven, not only does my physical body have to be clean, but I also have to be distanced from urine or from excrement. How far? Dalet amos. 4 amos. Say, how much is 4 amos? Approximately 6 feet. Now, we're going to see, by the way, when it comes to these things, it's not just an issue of distance, it's also an issue of smell, right? That you have to be distanced from smell. But we'll see in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Hayo Omid V'tilav V'nizka Shul Balkeri. If a person was davening Shmoneh Esrei and he realized that he was a Balkeri, Lo Yafsik, when it means he realized he's a Balkeri, not that he had his Semrali mission then. What it means is he had his Semrali mission sometime earlier, but he realized that he never went to the mikvah or never poured Tisha Kabin. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, Lo Yafsik Eli Yekatzer. Don't stop your Shmoneh Esrei in the middle. Rather, go ahead and truncate your Shmoneh Esrei. Similarly, Hayakari Batara Viniskar Shabakari. If a person was learning and he realized that he was a Balkari, Eno Mafsik Va'ola. He does not go ahead. You don't have to stop your learning. And so you don't have to stop your learning. Ella Megam Game Vakora. So we'll say, interesting enough, Rashi says, now Megam Game could be translated as like stutter. Rashi understands it over here as Bimirutsa. Just learn, but learn quickly. Finish up whatever it is that you're learning. Rabbi Meir says, no, in Balkari, Rashai Likros Batori, Yosam Gyo Psukim. Rabbi Meir says that a Balkari is not permitted to read more than 3 Psukim in the Torah. Tanya Idach, another Braisa. Hoya Omid Bitfila Barat, Soa Kenegdo. If a person was in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and he found excrement opposite him, Mahalech Lefanov, Aichiz, Yukin La Achrav Dalet Amos. So what's the idea? We'll say if a person is davening and he realizes that there's excrement, well, see, you have to understand something. So these halachas were very lemaisa. Well, first of all, they were very lemaisa, especially before indoor plumbing, right? So we'll say essentially, was where was the bathroom before the days of indoor plumbing? Wherever you decided, right? So we'll say, and we're going to see this. We're going to see these halachas play out. So this, like a lot of times we see this, we say, well, what does this mean? But again, I will say, this was like lemaisa on a daily level. So what happens? I'm sorry? Right, the smell issues were no gea to hear, right? Until the Baruch Hashem. But we'll get to that. Not anymore. Baruch Hashem. Till tomorrow. So it says the Gemara as follows. What happened? So if a person's davening and they find what? They find excrement. So what's the halacha? You should place a distance, move forward dalet amos. So that you should be at least dalet amos, that the excrement should be behind you. I have a hot tanya litzdodin. But another price that says you don't have to go in front of the excrement, but rather you could just move dalet amos to the side. To which the Gemara says, Hada Efsher, Hada Lo Efsher. The Rebbe said, the ideal is that you move in front of the excrement Dalet Amos. What does that do? So the distance, hopefully, again, prevents any kind of smell. But more important, just as important, is it's out of sight. It's out of sight. When you move to the side, although I may be remedying any type of smell issues, I have not necessarily remedied the sight issues. So if possible, you move forward so that the excrement is behind you. If not, you move to the side. So the Gemara says, Hayim ispalo matatobim komo, an interesting case. What happens if a person davened and he found tsoa, he found excrement in the place where he was davened? So what was I davened? I didn't realize that there was excrement here. But after I finished davening, I find it there. So what's the halacha? Amarava avapi shechata tfila so tfila. Even though you, quote unquote, sinned, your tefillah is still a tefillah, which is another way of saying that even though technically you did something wrong by davening in a place where there's excrement, nevertheless, your tefillah is effective. Maskif le'rava, v'ha zevach reshaim to'iva. But the pasuk says that the offering of reshaim is an abomination. So we see a concept that what? We see a concept that if you offer up your tefillah in a wrong fashion, that's called an abomination. So isn't davening in a place where there was soil, there was excrement, considered an abomination? Ela amarava, ho'il v'chata, so we'll say Rava's version is that Lamaisa, even though you daven, your tefillah is an abomination. So bottom line, the way the halacha ultimately operates is that if you daven in a place where there was excrement, you didn't know this beforehand, you find it out afterwards, even though the tefillah is obviously not an optimal prayer, one has still discharged their obligation. Tan Rabbanan, Hayo Omid V'Tfila, Umayim Shosesin Al Birkav. We'll say an interesting case. Let's say a person is davening, and urine is trickling down his legs. Shabbos says, so again, Rachmana Tzlan, this comes up in a situation of incontinence. Right? Shabbos says, let's say a person is incontinent. So, and let's say they're not wearing the proper undergarments to be able to control their incontinence. And Nebuch, you know, the urine is going down their legs. So what do you do in terms of tefillah? So the Gemara says, so what's the halacha? Posek achiyichlu amayim. So ultimately, again, you should stop davening until the urine stops, in other words, stop davening until the urine stops flowing. The chozer mispalo, once the urine stops flowing, you could go ahead and then continue to daven. Leichon chozer, where do you go back to? In other words, so the case over here would be a person's incontinent, they began to urinate. So the urine is now flowing down their legs. While the urine is flowing down, they shouldn't daven. They should wait till the flow stops. Once the flow stops, they can continue. The shaila, of course, is what? Where do you go back to? Leichon chozer. So Rav Chista Rav Hamnuna, both say it's a machlokes. Chad Amar Chozer LaRosh. One opinion say you should go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei. The Chad Amar LaMakom Shepasak. And the other opinion says, no, you go back to the place where you stopped. Lema B'hak Miflegi. So both say, what are they arguing about? Tap of Chav Gimel. Mar Savar Im Shaha Kedei Lig Moras Kula Chozer LaRosh. One opinion says that in Shmona Esrei, in general, if you pause in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and your pause is a long enough pause that you could have technically recited the entire Shmona Esrei in that pause, that essentially negates what you've said before, and you have to go back to the beginning. Umar Savar Lamakom Shepasak. And the other opinion says, no, you just go back to the place where you paused. To which the Umar says, if that's the case, Amar Avashi, Hai Im Shaha, Im Lo Shaha Mi Barile. If that's the case, then it shouldn't have been phrased as if you paused, but rather should have been phrased as if you did not pause. Ella, Dichuli Alma, Im Shaha Kidei Ligmaras Kula Chozel Rosh. But say everyone agrees that in Shmona Esrei, if you go ahead and you pause for long enough, for the amount of time that it takes to recite the entire Shmona Esrei. And I both say, by the way, this could happen. A person just begins to daydream in the middle of Shmona Esrei. You just lose your concentration. If you have a lapse of awareness or a lapse of concentration for a long enough of an amount of time that it takes to say an entire Shmona Esrei, you go back to the beginning. What's the case over here? Vahasam bidalo shakamifli. I both say, the case in question over here is a person paused. And remember again, we're dealing with that with a very specific situation where a person is incontinent, they begin to urinate on themselves, and what happens? They have to wait for the trickle to end. So for the flow to end. So the shaila now is, I didn't wait the amount of time that it takes to recite an entire Shmona Esrei. I waited a shorter amount of time. But what's the machlokas? This is actually incredible, I will say. So Dimar Sabar, Gavra Duchuyuhu, Vein Roi, Vein Tfila So Tfila. So we'll say one opinion says, if obviously what's happening over here is that you're urinating in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and when does that happen? A person mamish can't control themselves. So the idea before davening in general is that a person is supposed to, we'll see this halacha today, person is supposed to check themselves to make sure they don't have to relieve themselves before davening. So if I'm getting to a point where in the middle of Shmona Esrei, a person can't control themselves, that means you shouldn't have started to begin with. If you shouldn't have started to begin with, that means, again, you recited Shmona Esrei in an inappropriate context. Therefore, your entire tefillah is invalid. And therefore, you should go back from the beginning and daven again. That's what's said. That's the lashon of the Mar Savar Gavra Duchuya. The individual himself, in this case, was obviously never fit to daven. Ve'ein roi. Therefore, ve'ein tefillah. So tefillah. Therefore, you have to go back and daven Shmona Esrei again. Umar Savar Gavra Chazya. And ultimately, again, the other opinion says, no. We'll say, sometimes things happen. Sometimes things happen. It's possible the person, when he began Shmona Esrei, was capable of davening a normative Shmona Esrei, utfilah so tefillah. And therefore, again, his tefillah is a good tefillah, and therefore, where does he go back to? He goes back, ultimately, again, to where he left off. So we'll say, such a fascinating machlokes here, that halacha lemaisa, a person is davening Shmona Esrei, loses control of themselves, and urinates on themselves. So the Mishnah, so we'll say, everyone agrees, you obviously can't daven while the flow is coming. You have to wait. So we'll say, now the shaila is, after the flow finishes, where do you go back to? So one opinion says you go back to the beginning. Why? Because obviously if this is happening to you, you shouldn't have been davening in the first place. So therefore, again, you have to go back and repeat Shmona Esrei from the beginning. Second opinion says, no, sometimes things happen beyond your control, and therefore you go back ultimately to where? You go back to where you left off. And I will say, that is indeed the halacha. The halacha is that assuming that you did not pause long enough to be able to recite the time that it takes to recite an entire Shemona Esrei, you go back ultimately again to where you left off, to where you stopped when the flow of urine began. There are many other halachos that deal with this, namely that it has to also be a case where the urine was absorbed into your clothing. Right? If there's a situation where the urine is wet against your body, that triggers other difficulties in halacha. But assuming that the urine itself was absorbed into your clothing and you did not pause for the amount of time that it would take to recite the Shemona Esrei in its entirety, you go back ultimately again to where you left off. But I just want to point out, there's an incredible musr in this Gemara, like a glaring musr. The glaring musr of Osa is, you see what's happening over here? Which is a person in this case is losing control of his bowels in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So the Shaila is, do we say that since this happened to you, it was clear that you were never fit from the beginning, and therefore everything you did from the beginning was no good? Or do we say no, that ultimately, again, what you did in the beginning was good? Stuff happens in life. Stuff happens in life. You can't always control the things that come up. But ultimately, again, what you did in the beginning is good. Abbas said, do you know what this means? It's such an incredible musr. See, all of us make mistakes in life. Bad stuff happens. So the Shaila is, Rabbi Osai, when you do something bad in life, what does that say about all of the good that you did beforehand? This is my sin b'chol yom. Rabbi Osai, you know where you see this most acutely? You see it when leaders mess up, when great leaders mess up. Right? Great people who accomplish great things then make incredible mistakes. So do the mistakes that they made negate all of the good they did beforehand? Or do we say, no, the good was the good, the mistakes are the mistakes, but the mistakes don't negate the good. It's not just true for leaders, it's true for everyone. So I'll say, that's this machlokes. A person loses control of themselves in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So do we say, if you lost control in the middle, what does that mean? Whole Shemona Esrei is treif. The whole thing is no good. Everything you did is treif, everything you did is messed up. Or do we say, no, what you did in the beginning is good, that was all good. Now we have a problem. So now in the middle there is the problem, but you could regain your footing afterwards. So do we say, what's it, hear this? Do we say, gavra d'chuya? When you make mistakes in life, those mistakes invalidate everything. Everything is invalidated. Or do we say, no, what you did that was good is valid and good. Your mistakes are your mistakes, but your mistakes don't invalidate the good that you've done. Fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Osai. Incredible. Tan Rabbanan. Hanitzrach l'nekavav al yispalo. Rabbi Osai, here we go. So now along this same theme, if someone needs to go to the bathroom, you should not daven. Rabbi Osai, this is a very important halacha, right? If you need to go to the bathroom, you should not daven. And if you did daven, your tefillah is an abomination. Rabbi Osai, to daven with an urge to go to the bathroom, it makes... Rabbi Osai, now what does that mean, that your tefillah is an abomination? Does that mean it's just not good? Does that mean you're not yotzei? So we'll see. Amar Rav Zvi Tim Rav Yehuda, lo shanu ela sheni yachal lishos ba'atzmo. That's only true. I'll say if you can't, I don't know if the proper word is for this, but the way I can translate it is, hold it in. I don't know if there's a better word. Restrain yourself. Good. Aval im yachal lishos ba'atzmo tefilaso tefila. If you're able to go ahead and hold it in to restrain yourself, then your tefillah is effective. So what that means is, if you're able to hold it back for some amount of time, your tefillah is okay. How long? Va'ad kama? Amar Rav Sheshes ad parsa. Rav Sheshes says, if you could hold it in for the amount of time that it would take to walk a parsa. Both say a parsa is approximately 2.5 miles. And in halacha, the amount of time that it takes to walk 2.5 miles is approximately 72 minutes. So it's like, if you could hold it in for 72 minutes, I'm saying, when we say hold it in for 72 minutes, that doesn't mean that your legs are crossed and you're turning green. Right? That's right. The idea would be that if you would be able to function normally under these circumstances for 72 minutes, then you're okay. Then you're okay. But if lemais, again, you could not do so, then enoch inami, again, you could not daven under these circumstances. But it's incredible halacha. Iki de maskel masnisa medar amurim kishein yachol lamor al atzmo va'aval yachol lamor al atzmo tefila so tefila vad kama amrav zvid ad par. So this is just a different version. On Rabbi Shulman Nachmani, on Rabbi Yonasan, hanitzrach l'nekavav harezo lo yispalo. So we'll say if a person needs to go to the bathroom, he should not daven. Shene emar, because he quotes over here the pasuk from Amos, hikon likras elokecha Yisrael, which Rabbi Shulman, we translate to mean prepare yourself to meet your God Israel. So, the idea being that when we daven, davening requires preparation. We're going to see this in many different ways. It requires me to dress a certain way when I daven, right? You have to dress. You have to dress a certain way when you go to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't wear what you wear to whatever. Well, I mean, we'll get into these halachas. Davening requires a dress code. Davening requires cognitive, mental preparation. And davening requires physiological preparation as well. Part of the physiological preparation is if you need to go to the bathroom, ultimately, again, you should not be davening. So my dichsiv, what's the meaning of the pasuk? We'll say, what does it mean? Now, here the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Koheles. Let me read you the pasuk in its entirety. Literally, watch your feet when you go to the house of God. So we're going to dissect this entire pasuk. So we'll say, what does this mean? So ultimately, watch yourself, guard yourself that you should not sin. But if you sin, have a karban lefanai. Ultimately, bring a karban before me. Both in other words, it's incredible Musar life. Try not to make mistakes. But if you make mistakes, find the courage to fix them. Try not to make mistakes, but if you make mistakes, find the courage to fix them. The karov lishma divrei chachamim, amar Rava, have a karov lishma divrei chachamim. Shim chotim meviim karben va'osi tshuva. What does that mean? That be close to listen to the words of the righteous. The righteous people will say the sign of righteousness is that if a righteous person tries not to make mistakes, but if he makes mistakes, he brings a karben and he does tshuva. If he makes mistakes, ultimately again, he rectifies. So, remember, again, we saw this Gemara last week, that if you see a Talmud Chacham who made a mistake, you can be absolutely certain that what? That he did tshuva. That he vada has a tshuva. He definitely did tshuva. But say it's an incredible idea. The litmus, right, or I should say the definition of righteousness sometimes is not, even righteous people make mistakes. So what makes a righteous person righteous? That righteous people find the courage to fix their mistakes and to do tshuva. Whereas sometimes the rest of us just try to explain away our mistakes and fail to take responsibility and to fix it. Gemara goes weiter. So don't be like the foolish who bring an offering. Don't be like the foolish ones who sin, bring a karban, but ultimately, again, don't do tshuva. I will say, what does that mean? That sometimes a foolish person will go through the motions of bringing a sacrifice, some type of window dressing of tshuva, but ultimately, again, will not do real tshuva. Don't do the window dressings, but ultimately engage in the real service in order to turn your life around. Because they don't know how to do evil. If they don't know how to do evil, tzadikim ninu. I will say, if they don't know how to do evil, then they're righteous. Ela altikik silim shechotim umavim karban. Rather, don't be like the fools who sin, bring karbanos, ve'inam yodim im alatove heimavim, im al hara heimavim. Ultimately, again, I'll say, so apparently the foolish, they sin, they bring a karban, but they don't even know why they're bringing a karban. Are they bringing a karban for something good? Are they bringing a karban for something bad? They can't even tell. They're seeing that which is good and that which is evil. They both say, isn't this incredible? That says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're going to make mistakes, we all make mistakes. The only thing God asks is, own your mistakes and fix your mistakes. But if you're going to fix your mistakes, be genuine about the process. To clap on my chest, Ashamnu, Bagabnu, Gazalnu, and to have no meaning in that clapping, just like to bring karbanos, and not even to realize what you're bringing karbanos for, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is an empty, meaningless process. So we'll say we see an incredible, like, life plan. Step one, try not to make mistakes. Right? Live life with an awareness that allows you to prevent yourself from making mistakes. Step two, if you make mistakes, which inevitably happens, then what? Own them and rectify them. But when you rectify your mistakes, step three, do it with kavana. Do it with intentionality. Pay attention to your tshuva process and do not allow your tshuva process to be an empty shell of divine service. Incredible. Incredible. Rav Ashi Vitim Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Amar Shmor Nekavecha B'Shash HaTomei B'Tzil Lefanai. They will say they interpret the pasuk as meaning literally guard your bowels at the time that you come to daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Rabbi will say that ultimately again check yourself. right? That person should be aware. Mirza should make sure to relieve them, actively relieve themselves. But so we're going to see this, by the way, how the Gemara places an incredible emphasis on like being aware of one's need to go to the bathroom specifically before davening. Because we all know that ultimately, again, if you're in the middle of davening, you have to go to the bathroom. It totally ruins your kavanah. So the idea being that tefillah represents this dialogical connection with the divine. And if you want to maximize that experience, then at the end of the day, make sure that your body is in the right state as well. Here we go. Now here, we're going to come to a fascinating discussion, which is fascinating. We're going to see for us, this doesn't have all that much halacha l'maaseh ramifications for reasons you'll see, although it does have some. But it's a fascinating insight just into the practices of the times of the Gemara. So turn around, Rabbosa, here we go. Hanichnas labeis hakiseh, chovetz tefila berichok dalet amos. So we'll say, first of all, when you go into the bathroom, so ultimately, again, you take off your tefillin at a distance of dalet amos. So we'll say the idea is you don't take your tefillin off right at the entrance of the beis hakiseh, the bathroom. Why not? Because the assumption is that the entrance of the beis hakiseh, what do you have? You have a smell. So the idea is distance yourself a little bit from the bathroom, take off your tefillin at a distance of dalet amos. V'nichnas, then you go into the bathroom. Amar Rav Acha bar Avuna, Amar Rav Sheshes, lo shner ela beis hakiseh kavua, aval beis hakiseh arai, choleitz v'nifna la'altra. So we'll say this is incredible. So says the Gemara, when is this true? With a beis hakiseh kavua. Beis hakiseh kavua means an established bathroom. An established bathroom, that's where you have to go ahead and take off your tefillin at a distance, ultimately, again, of dalet amos. But if it's a beis hakiseh arai, a temporary beis hakiseh, then what? You take your tefillin off right there, and you could use the beis hakiseh. We'll say, what's the difference in a beis hakiseh kavua, beis hakiseh arai? So we'll say, beis hakiseh arai is what? Mazel tov, you just designated this as a beis hakiseh. So you decided to relieve yourself there. That is called a beis hakiseh arai, right? A beis hakiseh kavua means a place where someone has defecated in already. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Beis hakiseh kavua. This is exceptionally important. So we'll say the beis hakiseh kavua means a place where people have already defecated. That's a beis hakiseh kavua, right? Beis hakiseh arai, Rashi says shezeh maschil achshav lasosa beis hakiseh, right? Beis hakiseh arai means somebody just is relieving themselves right here and now. That's, and Rashi points out that even a beis hakiseh kavua is below chafira. Below chafira means what? Rabbi said that people are defecating actually on the earth, right? On the land. It's not in the ground. We'll say once it's in the ground, such a place like that, we're going to see it as a different status. Because we'll say the issue with a beis hakiseh kavua in this case is that there's human waste, there's excrement on the ground. There's extant excrement right here. So that's the issue. If it's in the ground, that potentially covered up, that changes everything, which is, we'll say, very interesting. Why? Because in today's day and age, we have modern plumbing, where, again, the waste is taken away. So we're going to see that there's a lot of interesting discussion about whether or not our bathrooms have the status of a Talmudic beis hakiseh. So again, we're going to get into these discussions, but this is what's happening in the Gemara. So again, for example, the Gemara says, if you're going to a beis hakiseh kavua, right, the beis hakiseh kavua, then ultimately what? You take your tefillin off at a distance of dalet amos. If it's a beis hakiseh arai, then you could take your tefillin off, again, right at the quote-unquote entrance way, and so on. Kshu yotze, and when you go ahead and you come out of the beis hakiseh, then marchik dalet amos umanichin mipnei shasa beis hakiseh kavua. There was, we're talking about a case over here where if a person made a beis hakiseh kavua, then when you come out, you put on your tefillin at a distance of dalet amos. See, bailu, the Gemara says shayla maushi kanis adam betfilah beis hakiseh kavua lahashdemayim. So what's the interesting question? Can a person wear his tefillin into a beis hakiseh kavua in order to urinate? So in this case over here, he's not going to defecate, he's going to urinate. Can he wear his tefillin into the beis hakiseh to urinate? And I want to point out something very interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Ma'am sheikanes betfilov kishen berosh shoka amar." We're talking about tefillin shal rosh, right? Because the Rebbe said the tefillin shal yad, the Gemara assumes you could walk in with. As long as what? As long as it's covered. That's the Gemara's presupposing. That's not even a shayla, right? We'll talk about this. You'll undo the ritzuos on your fingers, wrap the rest around your arm, cover up the arm, so the tefillin shel yad wouldn't really be a problem. The tefillin shel rosh is visible. So can you wear your tefillin shel rosh into a beis hakisei kavua in order to urinate? Right? That's the shayla. So Ravina Shari, Ravina says yes. Rav Ada bar Masna asra. Rav Ada bar Masna says you cannot. So we'll say so machlokes. Asu shayle l'rava. So they came and they asked the shayle to Rava. Amar lahu asur. Rava said, you are not allowed to. Why? Chayshinan shema yiponevahed. What are we concerned about? That although you're going in to go ahead and urinate, you may come to defecate. And they both say, there's a very important societal piece that is at play over here. They both say, when you used a beis hakisei kavua, people always use the beis hakisei kavua sitting. It's fascinating, sitting. So they would even urinate sitting. We're going to see this is going to come up in a little bit. Therefore, again, the concern over here is that halacha lamaisa, even if you go in ultimately to urinate, because you're urinating sitting down, you may come to defecate. Va'amrile, and the other Shabbos said, but this is dafka by a beis hakisei kavua, not by a beis hakisei arai. By a beis hakisei arai, how are you using a beis hakisei arai? Standing. Right, the assumption is if you're meaning, I will say, remember again, if you're using a beis hakisei arai for urination, remember your beis hakisei arai is where? Wherever you choose, right? Wherever you decide to make it, that's your beis hakisei arai. So there again, presumably, if you're using it to urinate, you're standing. That's why, so this case over here, I'm going to a beis hakisei kavua, I'm going to urinate, I'm going to do that sitting down, I'm just going to urinate. Then the concern the Gemara says is, you may come to defecate, and therefore you have to take off your tefillin. Tanya idach. But amrilei, the other possibility, shami afiachban. Perhaps, again, flatulence. So we'll say, one is not permitted to flatulate either when wearing tefillin. So therefore, again, the concern is, once you're sitting, the concern is that even though your intention is only to urinate, a person may defecate, or a person may flatulate while wearing tefillin. Tanya idach, another braisa. Hanichnas labeis hakisei kavua. If a person goes in. I just want to point out, you know, it's interesting. You know, so again, some of us who have learned these Gemaras before are used to these discussions. But if you're new to some of these discussions, sometimes you find it interesting how much the rabbis really get into urination, defecation, flatulence, and all this kind of stuff, right? We would think, like, let's keep the conversation up here, right? And we'll say, but again, this is part of the beauty of our Torah. The part of the beauty of our Torah is there is no part of our lives that is untouched by halacha, and there is no part of us. From the time we get up in the morning, and the halacha tells me, right, how I'm supposed to wash my hands, which shoe I'm supposed to put on first, everything, and how I'm supposed to get dressed. Halacha governs everything, because there's nothing in the life of the Jew that is not divine. And there is nothing in the life of the Jew that is not regulated. Again, because it's Kaddush, ultimately again by halacha. So yeah, even in these mundane matters, halacha has to say, Tanya Dach, another braisa, Hanichnas labeis hakisei kavua. A person goes into a beis hakisei kavua. So chole, I'm going to stop defining the Torah. I'll say one last time. Kavua means it's been used before, specifically for defecation. Arai, first time, right? You are initiating this space. So a person goes into a beis hakisei kavua, choleitz tefila berichok dalaramos umanichin b'cholon asamach l'rishos harabim. So let's listen to this. So number one, can't wear your tefillin in. Only can you not wear your tefillin in, you should take your tefillin off at a distance of dalaramos. And what should you do? You should put it in a cholon. Cholon literally means a window, but it just means a space next to the rishos harabim. So what it sounds like it's describing over here is that there would often be walls that would demarcate, that would separate between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Yachid, right? Public domains, private domains. So what should you do? So put your tefillin in a space in the wall over there. So that way, put your tefillin down, go take care of your needs, and come back. Okishu yotzei, and when you come out of the bathroom, marchik dal ramas umanich in divrei Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai is about to say that halacha lemaisa, you may not bring your tefillin into a beis hakisei kavua. So you can't wear your tefillin in, you must take your tefillin off at a distance of dalaramas. And Beis Hillel says, no. Ochzin biyado v'nichnas. This is incredible. Beis Hillel says, you shouldn't wear your tefillin in to the beis hakisei, but you could take them off and you could carry them into the beis hakisei. You could carry them in. Nochzin biyado, hold it in your hand. And you could ultimately, again, go ahead and bring it in. Now, what does this mean? why would Beis Hillel allow you to bring tefillin into the bathroom? If at the end of the day, let's say there's a wall there that I could put in there. So we'll say that here's the tension. On one hand, there's the concern about the safety and security of the tefillin if you just leave them. So we'll say, you see, obviously, if you're traveling with your chaver and you say to your friend, listen, hold my tefillin, that's of course the best. But let's say again, I'm traveling alone, or I don't have friends, whatever the mitzvah is. Hey, so we'll say, so lemaisa, again, the tension over here is between the safety and security of my tefillin versus potentially dishonoring, right? Somehow, again, not showing the tefillin the proper covered by bringing them into the Beis HaKiseh. So Beis Shammai says, leave the tefillin outside, do not bring them in. Beis Hillel says, no, it is better to compromise the dignity of the tefillin a little bit, but ensure their security by what? By bringing them in with you. Don't wear them in, take them off, roll them up, and hold them in your hands. So we'll say that's the tension. The tension between, again, the dignity or the honor of the tefillin versus the safety of the tefillin. So Beis Shammai says, don't bring it in. Beis Hillel says, yes, bring it in, roll it up, bring it in, because we'd rather have you safeguard the tefillin, ultimately, again, even if it means compromising the dignity of the tefillin a little bit. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva says, Ochiz bebigdo, v'nichnas bebigdo. So we'll say, it's interesting, Rabbi Akiva says, what do? You hold the tefillin in your garment, which we'll say sounds like you wrap the tefillin in your garment and ultimately walk into the bathroom like that. So Rabbi Akiva seems to be agreeing with Beis Hillel, but kind of adding on a different layer, which is don't bring the tefillin just in your hand, rather wrap it in your garment and then bring it in. So the Gemara says, Bebigdo, really? You're going to wrap it in your garment? Zimnin mishtali luhu binafdi. They both say, it's a little bit dangerous to wrap it in your garment. Why? Because what could happen? They both say, remember again, you're going to the bathroom. And if it's a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, what are you doing? You're sitting down. If you're sitting down and it's wrapped in your garment, isn't there a concern that what? That the tefillin could fall out of the garment. See, if you're holding it in your hand, you're holding it in your hand. But wrapped up in your garment, isn't that dangerous? Ela ima, ochzan bebigdo ubiyado vinichnas. Rather, again, Rabbi Akiva says, no, wrap it in your garment and hold it in your hand. So what Rabbi Akiva is doing is he's giving just an additional layer. Yes, Beis Hillel, I agree with you. Better to go ahead and bring the tefillin in with you. That way, again, you ensure the safety and security of the tefillin. But you know what? Instead of just holding it in your hand, wrap it in your garment as well. So the Gemara says, and ultimately, again, if it happens to be that next to the Beis HaKiseh, there is a wall with some openings, some holes in there, then you know what? You could put the tefillin in there as well. So they both say, interestingly enough, so what you see over here is as follows. So Beis Shammai says, do not bring your tefillin in with you to the bathroom. And if you need to, go ahead and leave them in the holes in the wall next to the Rishus HaRabim. Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva are disagreeing, and they're saying, no, bring your tefillin in with you. Better to safeguard the tefillin. Beis Hillel says, roll it up, hold it in your hands. Rabbi Akiva says, well, maybe wrap it in your garment and hold it in your hands. Or if there's a wall next to the Beis Kiseh Kavua, leave it in that wall. But whatever you do, don't leave it in the wall by Rishus HaRabim. Why not? Rabbi say, this is incredible. Shemayitlu osam ovrei drachim v'yavo l'dei chashad. Because what happened, Rabbi Osai? Now, literally translated, because somebody could take the tefillin and you will come ultimately to be suspect. So Rabbi Osai, this is incredible. This is not about theft. Watch this story. Rabbi Osai, there was once a story with a particular Talmud Chacham. So what happened? So he left his tefillin in the wall, right, in a hole in the wall next to Rishus HaRabim. Ubasa zona achas v'nat lasan. And a harlot came along, and she took the tefillin. Obas to the Beis Hamedrash, and she came to the Beis Hamedrash, and she announced, "Va'amru, ru'u man nason liploni bischari. I'm looking for the guy who gave me the tefillin as the payment for my services." Incredible. V'chevan sheshama osa Talmud Chacham. What's the Talmud Chacham was so humiliated. Allah l'rosh hagag v'nafal umes. He went up to the roof of the Beis Hamedrash, and he threw himself down. He killed himself. He was so humiliated by what happened over here. In that moment, Chazal stood up and they said, that Rabbi said, ideally, what do you do? If ultimately, again, now obviously Rabbi said, so therefore again, if we work backwards, the ideal, of course, is if there is a wall next to the base kisei kavua. I was about to say, if there are cubbies next to the wall, next to the base kisei kavua, obviously the ideal is you put your tefillin in there. But if you don't have that, then what? You bring your tefillin in with you. But what do? Wrap it in your garment, but hold it in your hand. We don't want you to wrap it in your garment by yourself, because what? There's a concern that what? It could fall out. But Lamaisa, wrap it in your garment, hold it in your hand, and walk into the bathroom like that. So as long as the tefillin are covered, and you're holding them, that's enough. We'll say again, to be clear, this is not ideal, right? For example, if you're traveling with someone, obviously the ideal is what? The ideal is what? Let them hold the tefillin for you when you go into the bathroom. But assuming you don't have that option, wrap the tefillin in a garment, walk into the Rabbosei. By the way, I just want to point out, isn't this story about the Talmud Chacham amazing? Another incredible Mr. Rabbosei. You know, sometimes, imagine you're sitting in the Beis Medrash. You're sitting in the Beis Medrash, and the harlot walks in with the guy's tefillin. And she says, you know, this belongs to the guy, right? A chutzpah. He paid me in tefillin for my services. Rabbosei, what would you think if you were sitting in the Beis Medrash? I can't believe it. Right? I knew this guy so well. I can't believe that he's such a manuvel. And you know what Rabbosei? You would have been dead wrong about the circumstances of the situation. How many times in life we see things and we assume that the evidence is incontrovertible. The evidence is so clear. How else could the Zona have this guy's tefillin if not as payment for her services? Yet Rabbosei say what? Everyone in the Beis Medrash would have been absolutely wrong. And Rabbosei, you know what the tragedy is? That Talmud Chacham knew there was no way to clear his name. At the end of the day, he knew that no matter what he would have said, it wouldn't have changed the narrative. Because there was no way for him to disprove the narrative. Rabbi said, when you have to disprove something, when you have to prove your innocence, there was no way for him to prove that he didn't do what he was accused of. And Nebuchadnezzar, again, he thought that his life was over. Such an incredible, I would say, how we have to be so careful to reserve judgment. Just because you think you know what happened, just because you think that everything is so abundantly clear, there is almost always a sub-narrative. There's almost always another story, and sometimes that other story is unprovable. But I will say that you have to be so clear, so careful about how you judge people and when you pass judgment on people, because we never know the whole story. An incredible gemara. Turn Rabbanon. Barishon ha'yemanich tefillin b'chor nesbuchel b'beis hakisei. So we'll say, so now what happened? So we'll say, so now what happened? They used to leave their tefillin in a wall. So we'll say, so now remember, based on what we just said, the ideal is leave your tefillin in a wall next to the beis hakisei. Second best, wrap it up in a garment, bring it inside with you. So in the beginning, they used to leave their tefillin in the cubbies, right in the wall next to the beis hakisei. And what happened? Ubo achbar v'not l'nosan. So we'll say, can't win. They said, now what happens? So then what happened? They left the tefillin on the wall, and then the mice would come and take the tefillin. Whether it means that the mice would come and take tefillin, I'll say, these are Eretz Yisrael, the mice. Right, so I'll say, so, right? Well, there's probably in Bavala also. And I'll say, so ultimately, again, now, it probably doesn't mean they took it. Probably what it means is they would bite at it, right? They would nibble at it. They would compromise the tefillin. So I'll say, so what happened? So then they said, fine. Put it in the wall by Rosh Hashanah Rabin. We can't do that. Uban over a drach of a notlin. Parma's passerbys would come and take the tefillin. His kinesh ochsen biyadov v'nichnas. Therefore, they legislated that what you should hold the tefillin in your hand and ultimately again walk into the bathroom. We'll say this is in accordance with the shita of Beis Hillel. Right. So again, remember, you take the tefillin in with you. If you could wrap it in the garment and hold it, matovu ma'noim. But it appears that even in the absence of the garment, to safeguard the tefillin, you could hold the tefillin in your hand to walk into the Beis HaKisei. Amram Yashia Rav Shimon Levi. Halacha, the halacha is, Golulon kvin sefer, v'ochzen b'yemido k'neged libo. The halacha is, Rabbi say, that what? You wrap up your tefillin, because the idea is we don't want the ritzuas hanging out, the straps hanging out. You wrap up your tefillin like a sefer. You go out and you hold it in your right hand, right by your heart. Rabbi say, ultimately, again, there's a different reason you're holding it by your right hand, the Gemara says, is because ultimately, again, this way the left hand is available to clean oneself up after defecating. Amarav Yosef Barmin Yuni, Amarav Nachman. You have to be careful that the ritzuas, the straps, do not hang down. Nebo said, now there might be some hanging of the strap, but the idea is less than a tefach of the strap should be hanging down. Amra biyako bar abba, amra bizir lo shnor elokishay shus biom lelavshan. Nebo said, now all of this is assuming that what's happening over here, you're going to the bathroom, you're coming out. Nebo said, this is also presupposing that, remember again, I should have said this in the beginning, we're operating in a different context where people are wearing the tefillin all day. That's the assumption over here. I'm wearing my tefillin throughout the day. That's how it was. So all this is assuming that you're going to the bathroom, you're coming out, and you're going to put your tefillin back on. There's enough, right? It's still daytime. You're going to put your tefillin back on. And therefore, the halacha says, wrap it up, put it in your right hand, hold it by your heart. If you have a beggar, you could wrap it in grape, but if not, just hold it by your heart, go in, take care of business, and come out. Aval ein shohos b'yom l'lavshan. Let's say you're going to the bathroom later on in the day, and by the time you come out, it's going to be nightfall. Ose lehen kamin kis tefach. Umanichan. The Rabbah say, ultimately, if you're not going to be putting your tefillin on again, then really what we require you to do is what? Go out and make a bag. Make a bag for the tefillin. The bag should have space of at least a tefach umanichan. And put the tefillin in the bag. The Rabbah say, it's actually quite interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, osa and kis tefach, the chalalo tefach, the opening of the bag has to have at least a tefach, the chashiv hakli ohel lahafsik benam lakarka. We'll say if the opening of the bag has at least a tefach, then what? Then that bag almost becomes like an enclosure, like a mechitza for the tefillin, and you could just bring the tefillin right into the bathroom as well. So it's very interesting. So essentially, the halacha says like this: when do we allow you just to roll up your tefillin, hold it in your hand, in your right hand, opposite your heart? That's when you need to get in and get out. And when you get out, you're going to put your tefillin back on. But if you're going in and it's already laid there, you're not going to put your tefillin back on at the end of the day. Then what should you really do? You should put your tefillin in a bag. Put your tefillin in a kli, in a utensil, and make sure that the utensil has at least a tefach of space inside the utensil. If there's a tefach of space, then the bag itself acts as an ohel, as an enclosure around the tefillin, and therefore, again, I both say it is if the tefillin really is in an enclosure, and therefore, even if it's brought into the bathroom, it's not a problem. Amar Rav Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Biyom Golalon. So we'll say, now we're saying this. So again, during the day, when you just need to use the bathroom, get in, and when you come out, you're going to put your tefillin back on. Just roll your tefillin up, wrap it up, hold it in your right hand, opposite your heart, and you're good to go. But at night, ultimately what? You should really, at night really means you're going in by day. By the time you get out, you're not really going to put your tefillin back on. Then you should put your tefillin in a bag that has an opening of at least a tefach that acts as an ohel, and then you're good. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, when does the kli require a tefach? Lo shanu ela bekli shehu kelyon. That really only means a kli that Rabbi says is miyuchad, is specific for tefillin. Rabbi, this is actually quite an interesting halacha. So the Gemara is saying is like this: when do you require a tefach of space in order for something to be considered an ohel around the tefillin? That's if it's a utensil that is specifically made for tefillin. But if it's a utensil that's not normally made for tefillin, then what? It could act as an ohel, even if what? Even if there's less than a tefach of space on the inside of the kli. Amar Mar. Because we see this again by Oel HaMeis, that if you have an earthenware vessel that's even less than a tefach of space, and there's something inside of it, and there's a cork inside it, it's able to save the item inside of it from being mekabel tumah. Ultimately, again, even if it's less than a tefach of space, so we'll say it's actually quite amazing. So we'll say, just so you understand, if you can imagine this, by the way, your tefillin bag, assuming you have a normal sized tefillin bag, has a tefach of space. Right, it has a tefach of space inside of it. Right, think about this. Right, tefach is not a lot. Right, 3.5 inches of space. Right, if you were to go ahead and open up your tefillin bag, it would have a tefach of space, which means that on a technical level, so a tefillin that's in a bag ultimately can be brought inside to a bathroom because that bag acts as an ohel. But interestingly enough, if you were to put your tefillin inside of something else, for example, you have a shopping bag of sorts. Right, So we'll say in that. Even if there was less than a tefach of space, it would work. So you both say, the idea is when the utensil itself is normally used for tefillin, you need to pass a greater threshold in order for it to act as an ohel. Because ultimately, to a certain degree, the bag is bottled to the tefillin if the bag is used for the tefillin. That's what you need a tefach of space. But if it's not a bag that is miyuchad, set aside for tefillin, that even less than any amount ultimately, again, can create an ohel around the tefillin. Rabbi Yochanan wanted to go to the bathroom. If he had a sefer, so we'll say if he was carrying a sefer, a sefer he would not bring into the bathroom. Right? Yet kevanaka tefillin, so he would give his sefer to us, his talmidim, to hold on to. This is very interesting. However, tefillin lo hava yoevlan. If he was holding his tefillin, right, he would not give it to us. Why? Amar hoyil visharuna rabban. And since the rabbis allowed us to bring tefillin into the bathroom, ultimately, again, amar deis natshunan. Ultimately, I'm going to bring them with me because the tefillin protect me in the bathroom. Rashi says, natshunan yishmaruni achnisim imi. So we have this concept that ultimately, again, bathrooms, apparently, again, were frequent places for shadim. We'll see this. Two places, bathrooms and ruins. We saw ruins already in Daf Hei and the Masechta. Now it's time to say, this is actually really an amazing Gemara. So here you have Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan was traveling his Talmidim. If he was holding his Sefer and he was holding, ultimately, again, Tefillin. Sefer he would give to his Talmidim, but it's tefillin he would take inside. Because he would say, if the rabbis allowed me to take inside, then what, I'm going to take them with me because they'll protect me from Azik. Now, saying that we do not paskin this way. Right? It goes without saying that halacha l'maisa, if you have someone to give your tefillin to, give your tefillin to someone. The dispensation to bring tefillin inside with you to the bathroom is just that. It's a dispensation. When you have no other good option in front of you, you bring your tefillin into the bathroom. But if there's another option, whether it's again giving it to someone else, whether it's putting it in a kiss, in a bag, you do that. But only if you have no other options, do you roll it up, hold it in your right hand, and hold it by your heart. Amar Rava, Rava says, Kevazlina basid Rav Nachman, Kevanak is sefer da'agarata yoevlan, supposed to be Rav Nachman, but if he was holding a sefer, and he was going into the bathroom, he would give it to his talmidim. Kavanaka tefillin, but if he was holding his tefillin, yo lo yahivlan, he would not give it to us. Rather, he would take his tefillin inside. Amar hoel v'shonar abana natron. Since the rabbis allowed me to take tefillin into the bathroom, I'm going to take them with me because they will protect me. Incredible. Tana rabbanan. Rosei an incredible halacha. Lo yochas adam tefillin biyadov v'sefer Torah b'zra b'yispala. Bosai, when you're davening shmona esrei, you should not hold your tefillin in your hand or a sefer Torah in your arm and daven. You should, I will say, the idea being, you shouldn't hold, I will say, holding something when you daven takes away from your kavanah. Nor should you go ahead and urinate when wearing tefillin. You shouldn't sleep in your tefillin. Not going to sleep for the night, and not ultimately, again, even a nap. Even after, we'll say, why is that? Rashi points out, because you may flatulate while sleeping. And one is not permitted to flatulate while going ahead and wearing tefillin. Amr Shmuel. Shmuel says, Sakin umaos the Kaira. So we'll say similarly again, a knife, money, a plate, likikar, or a loaf of bread, hare elu kiyotzeben. They're no different than what? Than a Sefer Torah, tefillin, or Sefer Torah, tefillin, or a Sefer Torah, or tefillin. We'll say the idea being, you cannot hold something when you daven. Rabbi will say, perhaps to make this halacha l'maisa, you can't hold your phone while you're davening. Right, the idea being, which I was saying, and davening, I have to mention this. Davening from your phone is a very bad idea. I'm going off script a little bit. Davening from your phone is a very bad idea. But say, the truth is, you know, it is so difficult to daven without distraction. Right? And I will say, again, it's not a topic for now. I'll make it a topic for now. I will say, which is, really how careful, you know, somebody just sent me, you know, everybody has these cubbies, you know, the cubbies where you put in your phone, you lock up your phone. I will say, which is great. But there's also something you could do besides cubbies, which is self-control. Self-control, I will say, you know, if I need a cubby not to check my phone, that's fine, but that's a chisaron in my self-control. How could it be that we don't have enough self-control? No one here is so important that you need to check your phone during davening. And if you are that important, I give you a p'tur from organized prayer. Like, if you are that important, then mamish, you are on call, right? I think even the president goes 45 minutes between tweets. Right? So I'll say, so again, if you're that important that you have to check your phone, you are p'tur from tefillah. But I will say, if you're going to daven, what is the halacha saying? And we all know this. The moment you pick up your phone, even to check something quickly, kavana is done. Kavana is done. Close up shop. I'm done for the day. Halacha says that as soon as you start doing something else, even holding something else during davening, the ultimately, again, my kavana is shot. So both say we have to. So whether it's that you put your phone in the cubby, whether it's that you switch it to airplane mode, whether it's that you shut it off, or whether it's that you leave it on, but you just exercise the self-control not to look at it. Rabbi Osai, it is such an incredible investment in your davening to be cell phone free during davening for the 30, 40 minutes that davening takes. Where's Mati? Mati here? 32 minutes, right? And Mati's davening, right? So for the few minutes that it is, Rabbi Osai, it changes davening in such a fundamentally dramatic way. Okay, the Gemara goes right to Amar Rava. Amar Rav Sheshes, and we only have a little bit of time and still just a few lines of Gemara to do. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Sheshes, Vesel Chosaki Hamas Nisa. First, say first wide line. The halacha does not follow this mission that we mentioned before, the Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, the I Beis Shammai, Hashta Beis Akise Kavor Shari, Beis Akise Arai Miboy. So we'll say, remember again, I'm sorry, the Beis Hilo, Hashta Beis Akise. So we'll say, so look at Rashi for just a moment. Les Hilchas HaKiyamasni. So Rashi says, Diktani Lo Yashtin B'Tfilin. So we'll say, that which we said before, that a person should not urinate while wearing tfilin. Ultimately, again, the Gemara says, this, the halacha does not follow, I'm sorry, Les Hilchas HaKiyamasni. So the halacha does not follow this particular ruling. The Beis Shammai, the I Beis Hillel, because if it was Beis Hillel, Hashta Beis Akise Kavua Shari, we'll say Beis Hillel allows you to go ahead and what? Remember, Beis Hillel allows you to bring your tefillin into a Beis Akise Kavua, Beis Akise Arami Boy. So let's remember again, when we speak about urinating, we're assumption over here is that we're talking about a Beis Akise Arai. And yet, again, the Mishnah said, the Braisa said before, that Allah Lamaisi, you can't bring your tefillin in while urinating. So we'll say, so it must be that ultimately, again, that's reflecting Beis Shammai. Because according to Beis Hillel that you could even bring your tefillin into a Beis Akise Kavua. If you could bring your tefillin into a Beis Akise Kavua, you could certainly bring it into a Beis Akise Arai, to which the Gemara says, Meisvei, Dvarim sheitarti lecha kan, asarti lecha kan. So we'll say, things that I have permitted for you here, I have prohibited for you here or there. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? My love tefillin. Bosei, are we not talking about tefillin? Look at Rashi, sheitarti lecha kan, the Beis Akise Kavu, asarti lecha kan. Bosei, the Gemara is suggesting over here, that even though we said that you could bring tefillin into a Beis Akise Kavua, you cannot bring tefillin into a Beis Akise Arai. Now, why that is, we'll see in just a moment. This is really incredible. Iyam Rishlam Beis Hillel. If you want to see a reflexive view of Beis Hillel, Hitarti Lecha Kan Kavua. Beis Hillel allows you to bring tefillin into a Beis Akise Kavua. Asarti Lecha Kan Beis Kisi Arai. But you're not allowed to bring tefillin into a Beis Akise Arai. Fine. The Rebbe said, we don't know why that is. We don't know why that is. But let's assume for a moment that's what we're talking about. Eliyamar Beis Shammai. If you want to say it reflects to you of Beis Shammai, halo sharo velo midi. But say Beis Shammai doesn't allow anything. According to Beis Shammai, you can't bring tulum into a Beis Akisi Arai. Can't bring tulum into a Beis Akisi Kabua. Kitanya hila inyan tavachu tvachayim. No. Different topic, actually. We must talking about Rebbe Osei, the din of tavachu tvachayim. Rebbe Osei, the din of tavachu tvachayim deals with how much of your body you are permitted to uncover when going to the bathroom. The idea being Rebbe Osei that even what? Even when you go to the bathroom, there has to be a din of tznius, right? There's a din of modesty in the bathroom. I will say this again. Rabbi Richter was actually giving me shir on this past week at the night seder. He gave a very good mashal. The din of tznius, I will say in general. Let's say again, you're home, you're using the bathroom, and no one's home. I will say, you still close the door to the bathroom because there's a din of tznius. We don't carry on conversations. There's no small talk in the bathroom. Why? Because talking in the bathroom, ultimately, again, is a lack of tznius. Even when we go to the bathroom, we conduct ourselves with certain standards of modesty. The way that Chazal discussed that is when you uncover yourself, right? You have to uncover your body in order to go to the bathroom. You uncover the minimum amount in order to take care of your needs. What the Gemara calls tavach utvachayim. The Tanichada, because one opinion, because one Braisa says, one Mishnah says, kishu nifna megala lachor of tavach. When you go to the bathroom, when you relieve yourself, you could uncover one tefach in back of you, ulefanav tefachayim, and two tefachim in the front. V'tanya idach, Rabbi said, is also reflective of the type of clothing they wore. V'tanya idach, la'acharav tefach ulefanav lo klum. Another braisa says, in back of you, one tefach, but in front of you, you can't uncover anything. So say, is this not a contradiction? My love, idivi idibish, is not talking about both of them, about a man. V'lokashe kan l'gdon l'kan l'ktanim. Rabbi said, one is talking about when you're defecating, one is talking about when you're urinating. When you're defecating, ultimately, you have to uncover one tefach in front and two tefachim in the front. Sorry, one tefach in back, two tefachim in the front. Why was? Because remember, again, they're doing everything sitting down. Obviously defecating, doing sitting down. The concern was that when a person defecates, that pressure sometimes also causes a person to urinate. So you uncover one tefach in the back, two tefachim in the front. So the Gemara says, "Kan l'ktanim." But if you're only urinating, you only have to uncover in the front, but nothing in the back. V'tizbara. I will say, but if you're urinating, why do you have to uncover anything in the back? They're both are talking about keys of defecation. So a man, when he defecates, has to uncover in the back and in the front. Woman, when she defecates, only has to uncover in the back. So I'll say, if that's the case, why does the Raisa say that this is a kavachomer that doesn't have a refutation? My ina love tshuva. What do you mean ina love tshuva? Darka de milsa, hachi isa. So the Gemara says, again, remember, the Gemara just, it turns out that the Gemara is just describing the way people normally take care of their bodily needs. Elalav tefillin. Rather, no, we must be talking about tefillin. V'tiyufta derava amar av sheshes tiyufta. And therefore, Rabbi, we are effectively refuting that which Rava said in the name of Rav Sheshes, which is what? If you look at Rashi, Tiyufta de Rava Rav Sheshes, Dam Rabbe Shamahi, Velo Be Silo, De Imkin Lo Meshkachas Midi Lo Okma Hach Praisa Diktani Mai Shetardi Lo Chalkan, Asati Lo Chalkan. Mikomakom Kashya, Hashta Beis Akisei Kavu Ashari, Beis Akisei Arai Lo Kol Shekein. So we'll say, if that's the case, so now we'll say, it turns out that what? Really what the Braisa is teaching me is, according to Beis Hillel, who allows you to take tefillin into a Beis Akisei Kavua, will not allow you to take tefillin into a Beis Akisei Arai. But why? What's the logic there? Watch this. The Braisa is incredible. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, Beis Akisei Kavua, Deleka Nitzotzos, Shari, Beis Akisei Arai, Deika Nitzotzos, Osir. We'll say, watch this. In a Beis Akisei Kavua, there's no concern about droplets or splashing on your shoes. In a Beis Akisei Arai, there is a concern about splashing of urine on your shoes. We'll say, what's the issue? This is incredible. The issue is like this. In a Beis Akisei Kavua, Muslim, what we said before, in a Beis Akisei Kavua, how are you urinating? Sitting. Which means, again, there's no splashing, right? There's no droplets. In a Beis Akisei Arai, how are you? Remember again, we'll say, what is a Beis Akisei Arai? Right, you've just like lahabil christened this area, right? Mamish, this I've just designated this. So I say, so remember again, what's the issue? You're urinating on the ground. When you urinate on the ground, what's the issue? The issue is ultimately again, the issue is splashing on your shoes. I both said we saw before, when urine gets on your shoes, you have to go ahead and wipe it off. Now, both you say to yourself, of course. Right? So I say, no. Halacha, you have to wipe it off. Why? Because what happens if a person walks around with droplets on their shoes? They run the risk of being considered a krus shafcha. A krus shafcha, Rabbi Osei, is someone whose urine doesn't come out as a stream, but rather trickles out. It's a defect. It's an anatomical defect. The problem with the krus shafcha, right, is someone, is the assumption is that he can't have children. If he can't have children, a person walks around with droplets of urine on his shoes, he may get a reputation as a krus shafcha. If he gets a reputation as a krus shafcha, that raises issues with the lineage of his children. It's amazing all the things that come out from a little bit of urine on your shoes. Therefore, we'll say what? Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, when you come out of the bathroom, you're going to have to wipe. So we'll say, here's the problem. If I'm holding tefillin, and now I have to wipe off urine, now already we're going too far. That's already too much. That's too much of a degradation of tefillin. So I'll say, so amazingly enough, Beis Hillel will allow you to wear tefillin into a Beis Akisei Kavua. Why? Because there's no concern of droplets. But Beis Hillel will not allow you to wear tefillin into a Beis Akisei Arai, because then there is a concern ultimately that you're going to have to wipe off the droplets of urine from your shoe. Ihachi amai in alav tshuva, tshuva mal yosi. Ahi kamar. Ha milsa tisli b'toras taima, velo tisla b'toras kavachomer. Which the Gemara says, really, this is a halacha that you have to arrive at logic and not by a kavachomer. Why? The asli b'toras kavachomer, hareza kavachomer shen alav tshuva. Because remember again, if you use a kavachomer over here, it wouldn't work. Why? Because if you were to use a kavachomer, what would you say? If Beis Hillel allows you to bring in tefillin to a Beis Akisei Kavua, then what? Kavachomer you can bring into a Beis Akisei. But Rabbi Yosef, of course, you know it's not true. Beis Hillel allows you to bring into a Beis Akisei Kavua, will not allow you to bring into a Beis Akisei Arai because of the droplets. It's supposed to say just two more lines. Terabanan. Harot Zilikanis Lesudah is incredible halacha. Harot Zilikanis Lesudah's Keva, Mahalich Asara Pamim, Dalit Amos, or Dalit Pamim Yulam. We're supposed to listen to this. Talmudic etiquette. Talmudic etiquette was when you walked into a Sudaske, when you walked into a meal, it was considered to be disrespect to get up and go to the bathroom. Very interesting. But I'll just tell you, like, Lahavdil, there was an incredible article in the journal, right, which was about the difficulties that the senators are having during impeachment hearings, because the halacha during impeachment hearings is that you're not supposed to leave the chamber. Even to go to the bathroom, which I will say is such an incredible idea, which is that when you're engaged in something bakavadik, you sit there. So mamish, like it's an avoda. So I will say, so now listen to this. You're going to go into a suda. You're going to go into the suda. Then what? You really have to make sure that you relieve yourself prior to the meal, so that you shouldn't have to excuse yourself in the middle of a meal to use the bathroom. So how do you do this? So I'll say an interesting approach. The Gemara says, Mahalech eser panim dal amos, do 10 short walks of 4 amas each, or 4 times of 10 amas each. So the idea I will say is walking, apparently again, exerts pressure, I guess the gravity exerts pressure on the bowels. Check yourself after every one of these walks, and that way, again, if you have to relieve yourself, you will relieve yourself. And then only after you try to go to the bathroom like this, and either you go or you don't go, you're ready to sit down for the suda. Rabbi Yitzchak, hanichnas l'sudas keva, choveitz tefila v'achar kach nichnas. Similarly, again, Rabbi Yitzchak says, person going into a sudas keva, a real meal, an established meal, take your tefillin off, and then I'll go. What's the idea being? You don't sit down to your meal in tefillin. Why is that? So Rashi points out, again, there's a concern about intoxication and about dozing, which then leads to an issue of potential flatulence. So Pligud Rab Chiyah, the Rab Chiyah, Manichan Al Shulchano, V'chein Hadlar. Rab Chiyah says, Rabosai, Rab Chiyah agrees that you should take off your tefillin before the meal, but Rab Chiyah says you should actually take off your tefillin, put them on the table next to you. Because having your tefillin there by the meal next to you is actually, it's a glory. But say what it also does, having your tefillin opposite you also ensures that what? That you'll maintain proper conduct during your meal. Va'ad emos. Ultimately, again, how long do you keep your tefillin off for? Up until benching. So I will say, at benching, you can put your tefillin back on. Tani chada, tzora adam tefillah v'ma osa bafrakuso. So you know, we'll stop over here. We'll let Miratz Hashem pick up with this Tani Miratz Hashem tomorrow. Shiach avosayim. Avosayim, just a reminder, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, therefore we begin tomorrow morning at 5:45. It's interesting.